You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss.
Step by step along this march, can be won. Many stones can form an arch, singly done.
Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions and is sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at UMKC. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved. Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum. Tonight's show is being underwritten by the United Labor Credit Union and United Auto Workers Local 249. The United Labor Credit Union is the only financial institution around to exclusively serve the Greater Kansas City labor community and the only one endorsed by the Greater Kansas City AFL-CIO. For over 30 years, we've been serving union members in Kansas City and beyond, their family members, and retirees from all crafts. We're here to ensure that your financial future is secure and that you succeed in personal financial growth. So learn more about membership and the experience the power of you for yourself. Call United Labor Credit Union at 816-313-2848 or visit us online today at unitedlaborcu.org. And United Auto Workers Local 249, members building the best Ford trucks and vans in the world. And we thank our underwriters for their contributions to the Heartland Labor Forum and KKFI. On tonight's show.
And then this magical, amazing policy came around that we started talking about. We started talking about the ACA, where they decided that, hey, maybe you having a pre-existing condition, maybe being born, is not something you should be punished for.
That's one of the witnesses who gave compelling testimony on why we need to save the Affordable Care Act at the Jobs with Justice Town Hall, February 25th. You'll hear more amazing testimonies on tonight's show. In the news, communications workers demonstrate against AT&T for a fair contract, and highlights of labor news from today's Labor Media Breakfast. Our feature at the end of the show is Safety First with Mary Ario, and her stories cover as cancer deaths among firefighters soar, families fight for compensation. Department of Labor sues food manufacturer for firing employee who sought to help co-worker, and fatal hot work explosion in Louisiana. Now for the news.
And this is the news from our side, March 2nd, 2017. Early this morning, Communications Workers Local 6360 President Joe Blanco was in front of an AT&T U-verse facility at 81st and Parallel in Kansas City, Kansas. Along with him were some 40 union members and supporters. They were demonstrating to send AT&T a message that they are not at all happy with the progress of contract negotiations. The contract with AT&T covers all AT&T employees in a five-state area: Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, and Arkansas. These are installers for TV and phone service, people who work on underground lines, and all the outside people, plus call center workers and inside clerical. Judy Ansel stopped by the action and asked Joe why they were protesting.
We're out here mobilizing to show our bargaining team that's down in Austin, Texas, that we're supporting them. Right now, our contract talks are stalled, so we're utilizing mobilization efforts all over the city to let them know that we are supporting them.
So how long have your negotiations been going on?
We have started early negotiations at the request of the company. We started them late January, 1st of February, and they had asked us to come to the table with the hope that we could get a contract early. So that was incentive for us, so we decided to meet them at the table.
Uh-huh.
Well, the retrogressions that they've been asking for are contradictive to the message they sent us at the beginning.
What are they asking for?
They're actually asking to gut the contract in regards to overtime, days off, health care, and wages. So the whole thing is it's the same thing over and over, but you don't ask someone to come to the table and then offer these proposals for early bargaining. That doesn't sound like you want to get a contract to us. So they even tried to put a carrot in front of us and said, if you get this done before February 27th, we'll give you a $1,500 signing bonus.
This morning's labor media breakfast was full of news from area unions. First, the American Postal Workers Union reported that there's a new bill in Congress that promises to fix the problem that has long plagued the Postal Service. That is the multi-million dollar requirement that it pays 70 years in advance for retiree health care. This Republican scheme was clearly aimed at greasing the wheels for privatization. Now, a so-called fix would drop the requirement by gutting postal retirees' health care. Darcy Wood of the American Postal Workers Union said her union will oppose it. Second, Tim Dupin from Firefighters Local 42 announced they have organized firefighters in Riverside and are currently negotiating their first contract. Meanwhile, in Claycomo, firefighters had to pressure city government just to begin negotiating a contract renewal. The worst, however, is Excelsior Springs, which is defying state union recognition law for public employees and requiring that cards firefighters signed asking to be represented by the union be turned into the city, their bosses, rather than to the state mediation board to determine whether they can have a representation election. Obviously, the union is afraid this could lead to retaliation and is investigating court action. Third, EMS workers and independents are still having great difficulty getting the privatized ambulance company AMR to negotiate a union contract. Robert Mills, an EMT on the bargaining team, says things are getting worse, but the city is doing nothing to force its subcontractor to solve problems of high employee turnover, worsening response times, and the need to do what's called mutual aid calls to surrounding towns to get backup because the ambulance service is so understaffed. Such mutual aid calls, he said, have increased 321% since 2014. He's hopeful that mediation, which begins in April, will help. Fourth, representatives from the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 1336, are not at all happy with Trump's proposed budget. An expert in their national union calculated that the military increases with corresponding cuts for civilian agencies will mean 40-day furloughs for all non-essential federal workers. People will be expected to work without pay as well. This, of course, will cause delays in processing Social Security claims. It's estimated the agency will suffer a 9% budget cut. Finally, Eric Hall of United Auto Workers Local 249 announced his local is sending a bus this week to Canton, Mississippi, loaded with auto workers who will participate in the kickoff of a mass organizing drive at the Nissan plant there. The event in Canton will feature Senator Bernie Sanders and actor Danny Glover, among others. And that's the news from our side. The news was read by Jen Zaman, and I'm Judy Ansel. And it's time for our show. Our show tonight is called Repeal and Replace the ACA, One Giant Death Panel. Maybe you'll see why we titled it that when you listen to some of the speeches. So the Trump administration and many congressional Republicans are poised to fulfill their campaign promises to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But they've got two major problems. First, they don't have a replacement that won't leave millions without health care and won't cost the rest of us an arm and a leg. And second, more and more people have caught on to the fact that Obamacare is actually the Affordable Care Act, and maybe it wasn't so bad after all. In fact, So many people are going to town hall meetings to tell their congressional representatives and senators not to dump the ACA. That our elected reps are holding one-way conference calls instead of town hall meetings so they don't have to hear from constituents. Last Saturday, Missouri Jobs with Justice held a town hall on the Affordable Care Act and invited Senators Blunt and McCaskill, as well as Congressman Cleaver and Mayor Sly James. All but Blunt sent their regrets and sent representatives to hear the testimony. Blunt sent no regrets and no representative. But the constituents showed up wanted to hear what people had to say. Jobs with Justice invited the Heartland Alliance for Progress and Indivisible Kansas City to partner with them, and the result was that the Teamsters Hall was packed with an overflow crowd. The representatives of the elected officials sat up front, and of course, there was an empty chair for Senator Blunt. On tonight's show, we'll bring you some of the speeches and testimony. The MC was former Heartland Labor Forum engineer and programmer Karen Wright. She announced at the beginning that they were recording the event to send copies to the invited elected representatives. We'll start with testimonies by two women about why we need universal health care. The first is named Meg Chakrabartiki.
Hello, everyone. Hi, you're going to have to apologize and write anything down. This is also going to be the first time I tell my long, complicated story in a public arena, so if I get a little bit emotional, you're going to have to bear with me. So if I talk about how healthcare has been everything I've always done for all of my life, it's because it has been. I was diagnosed with a pediatric liver disease at the age of 2.5 months old. I'm alive, which is pretty rare for people with my diagnosis. I have biliary atresia. When you get diagnosed with this disease, the only symptom is something called baby jaundice. For those of you who are mothers or maybe have children, you know that's a pretty generic symptom for babies, except for I was still yellow for a while, so that was not good. So this was back in 87, and so that was a while ago. They did some surgical procedures. I lived to be 28 with my own liver, which is a miracle, and then I was transplanted August 31st, 2015. So why is this? So I should start off by saying I'm very lucky. And part of why I was very lucky is that my parents came to this country as immigrants. My dad did a graduate degree in physics, and while they knew America was the land of possibilities, they also knew that America is the land where nothing is promised. And so the day I was born, I was insured by a health insurance plan, my dad's student plan. So I had this major surgery, I had all of these things, and the only thing my parents paid for were the booties that they bought from a hospital gift shop in 1987. But I spent my whole life being told that at any point, if anything happened, if my parents lost my job, if something were to happen, I would be uninsured. And then this magical, amazing policy came around that we started talking about. We started talking about the ACA, where they decided that, hey, maybe you having a pre-existing condition, maybe being born, is not something you should be punished for. So that's... I spent my whole life waiting for. I have been on COBRA 3 times before ACA started. For those that don't know, that's health insurance for $700 a month or more, because I knew if there was a minute in my life I was not insured, I would never, ever, ever be insured again. So on a lovely spring day in March 2010, I was watching on my laptop, so I didn't have TV, on the phone with my mother, as I watched the House sign this legislation into action. It was a really amazing day. She was crying, I was crying, and you don't realize that this is not just policies and paper, this is my life. And so, when I say that healthcare has been everything I've always done, I've become a social worker, so I'm a medical social worker. And what I do now, What I do now is I save lives because the healthcare system saved my life. So I work and have the luxury of working, and I will say I'm a representative of myself, not of the hospital. But the hospital that I work at is Truman Medical Center. For those of you who live in the Kansas City area, you know that we serve everyone regardless of their ability to pay. And it is something I am deeply passionate about and deeply honored to do. As you know, that is very, very expensive. So what I've seen in the several years I've worked at Truman is that with the ACA passing, people start getting paid for the work that they're doing. Hospitals start getting paid for the work that they're doing. And it seems very odd to me that the Republican Party wants to repeal something that gets people paid for the work that they're doing. So for me, I like a little every side for that. So for me, what I see is that I can name 100, 1,000, 1 million different patients I've seen who suddenly got care because now they have insurance. So they come in and we keep them at our hospital because we won't discharge you without a safe discharge plan, and we will keep you there, and then we have them sign up for insurance. And then sometimes that means they go to rehab after being in a car accident. Sometimes that means they don't die. Sometimes that means they get medical equipment. Sometimes that means they get to survive and be productive human beings and a part of our community again for the first time in their life. Today is that I appreciate you listening to my story. There's a million of us with stories. I am a lucky one who has always had health insurance, who my parents spent their whole life not buying a bigger house and not buying a bigger car and not doing things because one day I might not be strong enough to work, and one day I will lose my health insurance, and one day I might die because I could not afford the care I needed. Don't let that happen to anybody. Don't make it so that I have to work until I'm a million years old. Because I don't want to do that. So take the time. Coming here is the first step. Coming here is the first step. Listen to the stories. Find out how you can help. Call your representatives. Make a fuss. Make a big deal. Be loud. Show up. Because guess what? If you don't show up, it's not changing. I didn't write out my speech, so I think that's the end of it.
That was Meg Chakrabartikal. Meg blew people away with her story. She was followed by Melissa Washington from Stand Up KC, a fast food worker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, my name is Melissa Washington, and I work at Burger King. And 4 years ago, I almost died because I didn't have health insurance. So let me take you back. It's 4 years ago. My stomach starts to hurt, and it's really bothering me. I think in my head, it's a stomach ache. It'll go away. But every day the pain gets worse and worse. I can't stand up. I can't lay down. It's a constant throbbing, stabbing pain in my abdomen. I take ibuprofen. I take Tylenol. I try to take some Benadryl to try to get some sleep. But nothing works. I'm telling my husband, I need to go to the hospital, but I know I can't afford it. I don't have health insurance. So I think it'll probably go away. It has to get better on its own, doesn't it? But it keeps getting worse and worse. Soon I'm feeling lightheaded, and I'm dizzy. I can hardly walk. My husband doesn't know what to do. He's upset, and he's really concerned. And he finally says to me, I can't see you suffering anymore. I'm calling the ambulance, and you are going. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So when the ambulance comes, I'm sitting on my front porch. They check my blood pressure, and they ask me if I can walk. I barely can manage to stand up. On the way to the hospital, Every bump that we were hitting made the pain get worse. And the nurse kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm really scared. I'm having thoughts, dying and leaving my kids and my husband. When I show up to the hospital, they run a whole bunch of tests and they figure out I have an E. coli infection that was spreading to my blood. The doctors tell me that if I would have waited one more day, I would have ended up in intensive care. All because I didn't have health insurance. At $8.50 an hour that I make at Burger King, I can't afford insurance for myself, let alone my husband, and the medicine that he needs. We are not eligible for Medicaid coverage because Missouri lawmakers blocked Medicaid expansion. So we're stuck. But we're not the only ones. There are millions of low-wage workers across the country that can't afford the basic medical insurance or coverage that they need. So they're stuck, just like me, waiting for the last minute. Sometimes the last minute is too late. It was too late for our fellow stand-up KC worker, Myrna Doug Los Santos. Myrna suffered from health conditions that she couldn't afford to get treated for. With low wages and no health insurance, she waited until the last minute to get the care, but it was too late. Now she's gone. Myrna's story really hits me and my family really hard because I worry about my husband. He has congestive heart failure, and he also has a defibrillator in his chest. My husband needs medicine to survive. He needs heart pills and water pills. And one of his medicines costs over $600 a month. We can't afford it. With no insurance, low wages, we're stuck waiting for the last minute, again, and hoping for the best. But it doesn't have to be like this, does it?
No.
Working people like me deserve to have health care. Now is not the time to repeal the Affordable Care Act. It is time to expand health care. It is time to expand healthcare to millions of Americans that don't have it. It's time for workers like me to earn a living wage, have a union in our jobs, and not live paycheck to paycheck. To all you lawmakers out there, I ask you, walk a day in our shoes. Come see what it's like to live on low wages and have no health care. Come walk a day in my shoes and see what it's like to worry whether your husband or your wife is on their last day. And what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night just to make sure that they're still breathing because they don't have the medicine that they need on a daily basis. We are asking you to pass what is morally right, fair wages and union rights, and health care for all. Yeah. And lawmakers, we are asking you, have a heart.
That was Melissa Washington, a worker at Burger King, and you're listening to the Heartland Labor Forum. Our show tonight highlights from the town hall hosted by Missouri Jobs with Justice on why we need to keep the Affordable Care Act. After several other testimonies on that subject, Karen, the MC, asked if anyone in the audience wanted to speak. A young woman named Andrea Garnier took to the mic and delivered the most forceful condemnation yet of those who would repeal the Affordable Care Act. Here's Andrea.
My name is Andrea Gagnon. I've been a Kansas City resident since 2010. After years of seeking to undermine, defund, and destroy the ACA, certain members of Congress want me to believe that they are acting to repair broken law. I suppose by that same logic, they could aim for run over my dog Coco and then call putting her down a public service. These same lawmakers weave a tale about freedom of choice and efficiency of market competition free from regulation. I would be a fool to believe it. Adam Smith's not-so-invisible hand will never establish equilibrium between the supply and demand for health care. That is because there is no such thing as a free market when the consumer's survival depends on what it is insurance companies are selling. No matter what your political affiliation, we must not let the perfect be the enemy of the great. Private insurance costs are still projected to increase faster than incomes over the next decade. And it makes sense to improve, not destroy, the only mechanisms that push for a good cost-to-value ratio in U.S. health insurance markets, including state-based health insurance exchanges, insurance market rules, consumer protections, and expansion of state and federal oversight, and most of all, the expansion of Medicare. What threatens the sustainability of U.S. healthcare is greed. Yeah. Greed by the industries that mediate the relationship between the patient and the caregiver. The greed of pharmaceutical companies who use U.S. taxpayer money to fund research that charges 50 to 60% more than other developed countries. Yeah. It is the greed of insurance companies who cap coverage or deny claims because they consider birth defects a pre-existing condition. Ironically, the same people who want this tell me life begins at conception. Yeah. It's the greed of an unjust financial system that profits twice. Once from the cost of care, and then again when a family goes bankrupt to save someone they love. If I seem passionate and determined, it's only because I've been here before. When I was 8, my mother took my brother and I to the Louisiana State Capitol to lobby for a law that would prevent insurance companies from denying medical claims for birth defects. We were ignored. I remember clearly the patronizing glare of then-Republican David Duke, who made sure to greet us in the hall, if only to comment on what a perfect, beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde-haired child I was. I am passionate and determined because I agree with Martin Luther King that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. It was another 18 years before Louisiana required insurance companies to cover my brother's cleft palate. And it was another 21 years before the ACA mandated coverage nationwide. So today I'm here, and I am not interested in compromise. I compromised with insurance companies when I accepted and advocated for the ACA, and now even that is threatened. So unless you are replacing the ACA with Medicare for All, I suggest you expand it and not repeal it. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear from representatives of the three elected officials who showed up.
Capitalism is a system, and as a system, it has a momentum, a structure. The president, by himself, cannot change that.
On Friday, March the 24th, college professor, economist, author, and radio personality Dr. Richard Wolff will be the featured guest at a meet-and-greet dinner, followed by a talk entitled Trump's Economic Strategy and What to Do About It. Details of this KKFI fundraiser and ticket information at kkfi.org.
The Jackson County Bar Association presents Law 101, free legal classes taught by judges and licensed attorneys. Classes are from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Greg Kleiss Community Center, 1600 John Buck O'Neill Way, Kansas City, Missouri. The next class is Wednesday, March 8th on employment law. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
We're back. This is the Heartland Labor Forum. I'm Judy Ansel, and tonight we're bringing you highlights from the town hall meeting last Saturday, sponsored by Jobs with Justice, on why we need to keep the Affordable Care Act. Now we'll hear statements delivered by the elected representatives. First, Brooke Ballantyne Alfino, Deputy Regional Director in Senator Claire McCaskill's Kansas City office.
From where I stand, there's bad news and there's good news. First, some important context. As Missourians who are gathered to talk about health care, you're in good company. The man whose Senate seat I'm honored to hold was a man from Independence, Missouri, who began a national conversation about health care 7 decades ago. That was Harry Truman. And back then he was president. He said this, quote, "Millions of our citizens do not now have a full measure of opportunity to achieve and to enjoy good health. Millions do not now have protection or security against the economic effects of sickness, and the time has now arrived for action to help them attain that opportunity and to help them get that protection." We've come a long way since then. We now have a different president who, along with his party that controls Congress, have campaigned on a promise to strip away people's health care, not guarantee it. It's quite a change even from 10 years ago when I got to the U.S. Senate. Back then, I heard from Missourians who had gone bankrupt because of medical bills or because of caps that their insurer had placed on their coverage. I heard from Missourians who had paid for an insurance policy for years, only to have their insurance, the insurer, then kick them off of their coverage when they got sick. I heard from Missourians about insurance companies refusing to sell them insurance because they'd been sick before or had given birth, something that insurance companies dubbed a pre-existing medical condition. I heard from Missouri seniors who were paying too much out of pocket for prescription drugs, and for parents whose kids got kicked off their family policy before they had jobs of their own. I was elected to the Senate with a promise to try and improve our broken healthcare system. And after so many failed attempts by people of both parties to improve that broken system and to give all Americans that full measure of opportunity that Harry Truman fought for, we passed a law. It's called the Affordable Care Act, but more people know it by the president who signed it, Obamacare. It is because of that law that insurance companies can't deny coverage to people just because they've been sick before. They can't drop coverage for a person who becomes sick, and they can't place caps on insurance coverage. Young adults can stay on their parents' coverage until their 26th birthday. Fewer seniors have to pay high out-of-pocket costs because we eliminated the Medicare donut hole. And more than 20 million Americans now have health care who didn't have it before. And that number is worth repeating. More than 20 million Americans now have health care. I voted for that law and defended it in public town halls across Missouri, but I'll be the first to tell you that it's not perfect. No law is. And we could have spent the past several years strengthening it, fixing what was wrong, and doing even more to make healthcare more affordable. To this day, I remain willing to work on improving the law. And as President Obama said, if anyone can put together a plan that covers as many people at less cost, I would publicly support it. Yeah. But elected Republicans in Congress weren't interested in fixing a law, but only using it as a political weapon. Those Republicans are now fully in control of the federal government, and they're moving ahead with their plans to repeal the Affordable Care Act, as they promised they would do for so many years. I started off by saying there was some bad news and some good news. So that's the bad news. But here's the good news. Missourians are going to hold Congress accountable. And I'm going to be standing there with you. If the Republicans in charge of Congress are going to let insurers once again deny health care to folks who've been sick before, if they're going to let insurers drop coverage for people who get sick or kick kids off their parents' policies or once again put caps on coverage, if they're going to strip health care away from more than 20 million Americans, then they're barking up the wrong tree. I will never vote to take away people's health care. I will never vote to put big insurance companies back in the driver's seat of American health care. Republicans have promised to replace the Affordable Care Act for 7 years, and they've been adamant that they can do it better. They've said they won't kick anyone off their insurance, and they'll keep laws, popular consumer protections in place. They've said they'll replace the law with big, new, beautiful health care system. But after 7 years and more than 60 repeal votes, there's still one thing missing. Their replacement. So when you hear a member of Congress tell you that the Affordable Care Act is a disaster and must be replaced, I want you to ask them, where's the plan to replace?
Right.
When you hear a member of Congress tell you that they're repealing Obamacare, I want you to ask them, where's the plan to replace? And when you hear a member of Congress tell you that their new plan isn't going to keep people off their insurance, I want you to ask them, where's the plan to replace? And when you hear a member of Congress tell you that their new plan will still protect people with pre-existing conditions, I want you to ask them, where's the plan to replace? We don't want a list of principles or a vision statement. We want to know, where's the plan to replace? I plan to stand alongside you and keep fighting to keep that promise that Harry Truman fought for all those years ago. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. And thank you.
And that was a representative of Senator Claire McCaskill. Next is Manny Abarca, representing Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. He said Cleaver wanted everyone to stand up and hold up their signs and wanted him to take a picture of the packed room with dozens of signs raised supporting the ACA. The crowd obliged and stood up, and there was a forest of very colorful signs in the photos. So next we're going to hear Manny Abarca echoing the speech of Emanuel Cleaver.
As I listened to the stories of those who stood up and shared their impact with ACA, it drew something out of me that I had to share with you. In the hall of the Missouri State Senate, there's a quote written on the wall, and if you ever go down, look for this quote. What is politically right should not be morally wrong. The walls of your capital in Jefferson City. So use that as a tool as you go and continue your advocacy throughout. Now, I will read his words here. Dear friends, thank you for inviting me to join you at the Missouri Jobs and Justice Town Hall on the Affordable Care Act, the ACA. This subject is of utmost importance during this uncertain and tumultuous time in our country. I appreciate the opportunity to learn how the ACA has impacted your lives. I wish I was able to join you personally, but I have prior commitments elsewhere in the district that preclude me from attending today. Nevertheless, I am grateful for you coming together and voicing your concerns about Congress's deliberations regarding the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. It may be helpful to know that since the ACA was enacted, over 200,000 Missourians, including 54,000 children, have gained health care insurance coverage, and the uninsured rate has dropped to 26%. A repeal of this law will cause repercussions across the nation, especially to our most vulnerable, the elderly and the poor. The 125,000 seniors in Missouri's 5th Congressional District who are enrolled in Medicare will see higher premiums, deductibles, and cost shares. Due to the ACA, the typical Medicare enrollee is paying about $700 less in premiums and cost shares. Repealing the ACA will also cancel the fix to the Medicare donut hole in the program's prescription drug coverage. The ACA has saved 11 million seniors an average of $2,100 a person on prescription drugs. If the ACA is repealed, 2.6 million Missourians that have pre-existing conditions like asthma, cancer, diabetes, or the other chronic illnesses could be unable to get insurance coverage. Insurers will no longer be required to offer free preventative care and screenings, and they would once again be able to impose annual or lifetime limits on benefits. Not only will costs on seniors and our most vulnerable go up, but Medicare spending will increase by $802 billion over the next 10 years, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. While there are certain aspects of the Affordable Care Act that I agree need to be reformed, I am and will continue to be a staunch advocate against repealing it in its entirety without a replacement. Protecting our most vulnerable in society's access to quality health care is of critical importance to him. I continue to stand with you in this fight. Thank you.
And we're going to have to skip the statement by the representative of Mayor Sly James for lack of time, but he committed to doing whatever he can, even though he is not a political figure on the national scene. In order to be able to maintain the Affordable Care Act. The organizations that got people to the town hall all had things for people to do. First, MC Karen Wright talked about an app you can put on your phone. Here's her talking about this daily app that you can put on.
Those of you who have smartphones instead of stupid phones, there is an app called 5 Calls. It's something that Michael Moore has talked about, but it is an amazing app that all you do is put in your name and your zip code, and it connects you to all the people you need to call in Washington, D.C. And it even gives you a script. So all you got to do is every morning, like Michael Moore says, get up, brush your teeth, start your coffee machine, and dial. Okay, and it's free. Okay. 5 Calls. Very simple. It's an amazing app. And ever since I've gotten it, every morning I get up, brush my teeth, start the coffee machine, and call. Okay. The next speaker is Melissa Washington.
Okay. Well, the next speaker is not Melissa Washington. We already heard from her, actually. But what Karen also asked people to do was call Senator Roy Blunt and give him a message of what people wanted him to do about the Affordable Care Act. And so everybody called at once. And, of course, they got busy signals. But they flooded his office. Finally, representatives from each sponsoring organization talked about what people can do. First, we'll hear from Indivisible KC, then the Heartland Alliance for Progress, and finally, Kansas City Jobs with Justice.
So, at Jobs with Justice, we know that nothing changes without everyday people standing up and taking strategic action. We are now going to hear about upcoming opportunities to take action. And I want the representatives from Indivisible KC, Heartland Alliance for Progress, and Jobs with Justice to please come up. The first speaker I'm going to have is going to be Indivisible KC, Hillary Shields. She's an organizer with Indivisible KC. She's new to activism, which I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room who are.
I really want to thank you very much for Justice. Jobs for putting this event on and for letting us partner with you. It's a really exciting opportunity. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Invisible KC, kind of what the Invisible game plan is, some success that we've seen, and then how you can get involved. So Invisible KC is a new organization we formed after the last election. And our guiding principle is that our elected officials work for us.
Yeah.
In Washington, there are three people that represent you, and there are three people that care about what you have to say, or that should care about what you have to say. Your two senators and your representative. And so our group focuses on putting pressure on those elected officials. We do some state level actions as well, but our main focus as we've been getting started has been really talking to our senators. Roy Blunt, we wish you were here because you need to listen to us. Doing actions like Resist Trump Tuesdays, where every single Tuesday we're out at our senator's office. We're nonpartisan. We are about accountability no matter who you are. Whether you're Claire McCaskill and you're a Democrat, or you're Roy Blunt and you're a Republican, you're both my Missouri senators. You both represent me and you both have to listen to the issues that I care about. A lot of people have looked at these actions and wondered, is this working? Is what we're doing having an effect? And it is. You need to know that this is working. We have already seen successes. Do you know what happened when the House tried to gut their own oversight? They were flooded with more calls than they've ever gotten. Why would you make gutting your own oversight the first thing that you do when you get these big majorities?
Yeah.
When they hear from you, when they hear from their constituents, when you call up and say, hi, my name is Hillary Shields, I'm a constituent from Lee Summit, Missouri, and I care about this issue, they will listen to you. When we all join together, they will listen to us. That's why we lead actions every week, where we pick a topic and we all talk about the same message, because when all of our voices are joined together, we are so much more powerful than we can be individually.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the only town hall that we've done. We did one in Kansas with our Kansas friends this past Wednesday, and we made cardboard cutouts of their representatives as well. We had cardboard Moran, cardboard Roberts, cardboard Yoder, and cardboard Jenkins. Well, they responded as vocally as their real counterparts, so it was hard. We made these cardboard representatives. We took photos. We sent them to local media. The Kansas City Star wrote an editorial about that that featured our cardboard senators, asking why their representatives aren't holding town halls. That was a great story, but it did not end there. Hillary Clinton retweeted that story. It went out nationally and has generated other headlines. We are shaping the national conversation from Kansas City, and you can be a part of this.
All right, our next speaker is Sarah Starnes. She's the chair of the Heartland Alliance for Progress. She's a retired social worker from the VA. She's also a union member, a retired AFGE. And she's, I'm sure, has lots of stories to tell about that, but I'm going to let her speak about the Heartland Alliance for Progress.
Good afternoon, Kansas City. I'm Sarah Starnes, the chair of the Heartland Alliance for Progress, and I want to thank Jobs with Justice, the Teamsters, representatives, our elected officials, people who are new to this movement, and people that have been working on it for a long time. So give yourselves that. Progress, or we call it HAP when we're lazy. We're an all-volunteer organization and we're all about action. We'd love for you to join us. You're here because you're the doers and we're going to give you stuff to do. None of us has been paid for any of the things we've done. We have no budget. and we just keep fighting between elections and causes. We partner with other groups and organizations like Santa Fe City, Jobs of Justice, and a bunch of y'all. And we organize for presidential and Senate races in 07, 08, 2012, 2016. We are not part of the Democratic Party, but we kind of lean partisan. And we know that elections matter, so we hope you join us in that. We helped elect candidates for other public offices like school boards, state reps, statewide offices. And we're going to, you know, turn this ship around. We started organizing for health insurance reform in 2009 before the law was passed. And we saved our Senator McCaskill from the Tea Party at her 2009 ACA town hall at UMKC. Some of you were there for that. And also Congressman Cleaver, when he had a coffee out in Lee's Summit, we'd be there in force. And we were really proud because they'd been beat up pretty bad in some areas. With Alice Kitchen and a bunch of you here, and with a government official who must now remain nameless to keep his job, we educated 5,000 people about the Affordable Care Act. In 2012, we visited congressional offices and held rallies in the 4th, 5th, and 6th congressional districts about the fiscal cliff, Republicans shutting down the government, the wealthy paying their fair share of taxes, and middle class tax cuts. In 2013, we did the same for comprehensive immigration reform, and so on and so forth. So we now must all come together to fight for our values. Go to our website, HeartlandAllianceForProgress.com, and you'll gain a whole lot of information. We have a calendar that has events of all of our sister organizations, and we have actions that you can take, who to call about what, state or federal. We meet the second and fourth Mondays of the month at Californos. So be sure and go to our website, find out everything that we're doing. Don't despair, organize. Thank you so much.
Okay, and our last speaker is Clinton Taylor. Clinton has been a member of Jobs for Justice for several years. I've known Clinton for quite a long time. Good man. He also is a member of CWA 6450, which is one of our strong unions here in Kansas City, along with several others. They've been fighting for lots of issues for several years, and I'm going to let Clinton explain to you what exactly we do and maybe what you can do with us.
My name is Clinton Taylor again, and I am the co-chair of the Mobilization Committee for Jobs and Justice here in Kansas City. And I'm going to share with you some actions we can take right now and in the future. So first of all, when you all came in, there should have been some papers on your chairs, and I'm asking that you pull out the paper that says, "Where is Roy?" All right, if you can get that paper, there are two phone numbers on there, one to his local office and one to the D.C. office. So right now, if everybody will pull out their phone and make a phone call to Roy Blunt, yes, there's some strip too right now. We're going to take a couple minutes to make this call to Roy Blunt. And let him know, let him know that we're here.
Hello, this is Mary Ario for Safety First. First, as cancer deaths among firefighters soar, families must fight for compensation. From the February 26, Kansas City Star, Heather Winship was left to raise two boys by herself after her husband, Rick Winship, died from cancer in 2015. Fire Captain Rick Winship died in a hospital bed, not in a raging inferno, but his death was in the line of duty all the same, his widow says. The fast-spreading cancer that killed him 2 years ago was, Heather Winship believes, a result of exposure to toxic soot and smoke during his 26-year career with the Independence Fire Department. Proving that won't be easy as she seeks workers' comp survivor benefits. The system as it stands now in Missouri is stacked against firefighter cancer claims, the Star found, in a month-long look at hurdles firefighters and their families face seeking compensation for cancers that even the government acknowledges are likely job-related. Safety First reported on a National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health study in October 2015. The study found that firefighters are twice as likely to suffer from testicular cancer and malignant mesothelioma, for instance. They have higher rates for many other malignancies, in part because buildings today are filled with furnishings and other objects made entirely of synthetics that produce a poisonous cloud when they burn. Fire departments across the country have publicly acknowledged that risk and are increasingly taking precautions to lessen exposures. The Independence Fire Department and its union, Local 781, are proud of an agreement they signed last year that sets out 11 decontamination steps fire companies should take during and after every fire. A proposed law that would address the compensation issue on the state level, at least, is now before the Missouri General Assembly. Representative Shane Roden's House Bill 481 gives firefighters and their survivors benefits of the doubt when trying to collect workers' comp benefits for a cancer disability or death. Next, Department of Labor sues food manufacturer for terminating employee who sought help for coworker. From EHSToday.com for February 23rd. When a coworker severed part of his thumb in July 2014, a food processing employee at a beef jerky manufacturing plant in West Virginia acted quickly, helping him apply pressure to the wound and using her cell phone to call 911. Before responders could answer, the company's owner ordered her to hang up. Instead of calling an ambulance, John Bachman, owner of Lone Star Western Beef, collected the severed portion of the wounded worker's thumb and told a supervisor to drive the injured employee to an urgent care clinic. The injured worker ultimately was transferred to a hospital where doctors were unable to reattach the severed body part. Later that afternoon, the coworker discussed her concerns about the incident with the U.S. Department of Agriculture inspector. 2 days later, she was fired. After she was fired, the coworker called OSHA and filed a complaint alleging that Lone Star Western Beef and John Bachman terminated her in retaliation for engaging in a protected activity under the Occupational Safety and Health Act. The agency's investigation found that the company violated the Act's anti-discrimination provision, or Section 11C, when Bachman terminated the complainant for trying to call 911. The U.S. Department of Labor filed a lawsuit against Lone Star and Bachman seeking back wages and punitive damages. OSHA enforces the whistleblower provisions of 22 statutes protecting employees who report violations of various laws. For more information, go to www.whistleblowers.gov. Finally, fatal hot work explosion in Louisiana. From www.csb.gov, Media Room for February 9th. A three-person investigative team from the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, CSB, is deploying to the scene of an incident that killed three workers and reportedly injured seven on Wednesday, February 8th, at the Packaging Corporation of America, PCA plant in DeRidder, Louisiana. According to initial reports, the explosion took place while contractors performed welding on a tank during facility shutdown. The explosion was powerful enough to cause the tank to fly and land in a different area of the plant. Welding is one of several types of hot work or spark-producing operations that can ignite fires or explosions. Following a deadly 2008 explosion at another PCA plant in Wisconsin, the CSB issued a safety bulletin on the hazards of welding and other hot work. Recommendations include: use alternatives to hot work if possible, analyze hazards prior to hot work, monitor the atmosphere using a calibrated flammable gas meter, evaluate adjacent areas, use written permits by qualified personnel, provide thorough training, and supervise contractors. This is Mary Ario for Safety First.
And this is our land labor form calendar. Join your union sisters on International Women's Day to lobby the cause of working women in Missouri, Wednesday, March 8th, State Capitol, Jeff City. To RSVP, call 816-836-8485. And Equal Means Equal, screening of the documentary about women's rights, Wednesday, March 8th, 2 p.m. and at 7 p.m. at Kansas City, Kansas Community College Performing Arts Center. And join us on International Women's Day, March 8th, at Bruce R. Watkins Center, 3700 Blue Parkway, KCMO 64130. That's at 6 p.m.
The Heartland Labor Forum. Our show will cover the Wentzville School Bus Drivers Organizing Campaign and federal workers in the crosshairs again. Thanks to our engineer, Jen Zeman. You have been listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss. We are sponsored by the Institute for Labor Studies at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Our volunteers come from a wide variety of workplaces and unions. We are supported by many Kansas City area unions and the AFL-CIO. To talk back to us, to volunteer, or to let us know about news or events, call us at 816-235-1470 or go to www.heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI, UMKC, or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening to the Heartland Labor Forum at 6 o'clock or to our Friday morning rebroadcast at 5 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI.